The first three-minute portion of the Senator Tidings talk is not available. We bring you the program as received here in Los Angeles. Senator Tidings is already speaking.
At this point, let us review the facts concerning the investigation by the four committees of the 80th Congress. The record shows that the individuals alleged in this year, 1950, to be disloyal and employed in the State Department were the same individuals, mark the words, who had been studied and investigated in 1947 and 48 by four separate committees of the 80th Congress, which was controlled by the Republican Party. You remember? This amazing fact requires the application of a little common sense. But first, let us assume that these four Republican committees in 47 and 48 did a good job, as Mr. Lewis states, did find the individuals to be disloyal, and did take action to effect their dismissal from the State Department. Well, if this be true, then how in 1950 could the Senate investigation have whitewashed individuals that had already been taken care of by four separate committees in 1947 and 1948? Let us assume, on the other hand, that these same individuals were found to be disloyal by the four committees of the 80th Congress, and yet that these committees did not so much as regard the situation as one meriting a report or citing a single State Department employee as disloyal, as was the case. If this be true, then manifestly four committees of the Republican 80th Congress whitewashed a Democratic administration, a possibility which I submit is rather remote. At this point, some of the factual inaccuracies in Mr. Lewis's broadcast relative to the investigations of the four committees of the 80th Congress should be considered. Mr. Lewis asserted that he had checked back on the four investigations which Senator Tidings says were made by the Republican 80th Congress, and that this is what he found. I quote his words. In 1947 and 48, there were, says Mr. Lewis, four Republican investigations of alleged disloyalty in the State Department. Now, I want to interject there. Mr. Lewis admits that, don't you see? Now, I continue his remarks. One by the Senate Appropriations Committee under Senator Ferguson in Michigan. It resulted in the dismissal of subsequent imprisonment of Carl Monsanto, I'm quoting Mr. Lewis, of the department for falsely swearing that he was not a member of the Communist Party when he was. And it resulted also in the dismissal of 15 other departmental employees. End of Mr. Lewis's statement. The facts are, the Senate Committee, Appropriations Committee, of which Senator Ferguson was not the chairman, Mr. Lewis, but only a member, just for the record, had nothing whatever to do with the Marzanti case, for which you give him credit. This Senate Committee was active in 1947 and 48. But Marzanti was removed from the State Department, not in 47 or 48, but on December the 20th, 1946, 2 years before. On December the 24th, 1946, officials of the State Department personally conferred with the Attorney General and turned the case over to the Justice Department before the 80th Congress was ever elected. The Senate Appropriations Committee had no part in the investigation, the removal, the indictment, or the imprisonment of Marzanti. I mentioned this, ladies and gentlemen, as a public service, just to keep the record straight. Mr. Lewis also stated, and I quote his words, quote, "The second investigation was a one-man subcommittee of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, Representative Junkman, Republican of Michigan, which resulted in the dismissal of 134 employees of the Department for Disloyalty," and Mr. Lewis's quote. Now, the facts are, Mr. Junkman's inquiry had nothing whatever to do with the separation of the 134 employees from the State Department. As a matter of fact, Mr. Junkman himself merely observed that from the date Mr. John Purifoy was made Assistant Secretary of State for Administration, from January 47 to August 1948, 134 persons were either separated from the government or separated themselves from the department. Many of the 134 individuals were separated for reasons wholly unrelated to security considerations. Again, I mention this as a public service, just to keep the record straight. Mr. Lewis asserted that a third investigation was made by the House Appropriations Committee and resulted in the gathering of a long list of individuals with questionable records, which list was available to the other investigators. The facts which Mr. Lewis neglects to reveal are that this list and attendant information compiled by the House Appropriations Committee of the 80th Congress, the Republican Congress, in March of 1948, included all of the very individuals, the same ones and the same information, somewhat distorted, which was used in making the charges of widespread disloyalty in the Senate in March in 1950, which brought on the investigation in question. The same old warmed-over biscuit, not known at that time, however. Again, referring to the pamphlet concerning the truth, which Mr. Lewis has sought to disparage, the statement is made that in a speech on the floor of Congress, Representative Jonkman, Republican of Michigan, of a subcommittee of the Committee on Foreign Affairs investigating these same charges, at page 9793 of the Congressional Record of August the 2nd, 1948, said, But before the 80th Congress adjourns, I want the members to know that there is one department in which the known or reasonably suspected subversives, communists, fellow travelers, sympathizers, and persons whose services are not for the best interest of the United States have been swept out. That is the State Department. That is a Republican investigator, ladies and gentlemen, speaking to the House of Representatives as the State Department is pleased. Interestingly, Mr. Lewis does not question this statement by Representative Jonkman. He admits Mr. Jonkman did say the State Department had been swept clean. He complains, however, that the pamphlet does not set forth everything that Mr. Jonkman said. It appears that after confirming the statement of Mr. Jonkman in August of 1948 that disloyal persons had been swept out of the State Department, Mr. Lewis felt that reference should have been made to Mr. Jonkman's further statement that he, Jonkman, and a Republican Congress were responsible for the sweeping that was done. If Mr. Lewis feels that the credit for ridding the Department of Subversives by August of 48 belongs to Mr. Jonkman and the 80th Congress, instead of to the effective work of the State Department itself, which Mr. Jonkman's statement in point of fact actually shows, that's all right with me. What I want to know, however, is this. If by August of 1948, as Mr. Jonkman says, the State Department had been swept clean of subversives, as Mr. Lewis himself now seems to indicate, how in heaven's name could the committee of which I was the chairman have whitewashed the same person in 1950 when they had been swept out in 1948? Answer that one. Now it would seem to me that Mr. Lewis is either going to have to fish or cut bait. Either he must follow his thesis that the investigation was a whitewash, in which case there was necessarily a whitewash for four committees of the Republican-controlled 80th Congress, for it considered cases of the same individuals, or he must follow his latest thesis that the 80th Congress eliminated subversives from the State Department, in which case there was nothing to be whitewashed for the committee which I headed. The truth is that no one has whitewashed anything. It is always easy, however, for those without facts to raise the cry of whitewash. And remember that Mr. Lewis never saw any of the 81 files of the persons mentioned which my committee examined, but he knows all about them. Remember, too, that of the two Republican members of my committee, Senator Hickenlooper read only 9 of the 81 files, and Senator Lodge read only 12 of the 81. I read all the 81. My, oh my, what Mr. Lewis would have said if I, a Democrat, had read only 9 or 12 of the files, the 81 that were to be read. Wouldn't he have cut loose for fair? But on that score, of course, he's as silent as the tomb. Tomorrow evening, not over this network, which I have been denied, I shall have further observations to make concerning Mr. Lewis's commentary.
You have heard Senator Millard E. Tidings, who spoke this evening from Baltimore. Mr. Fulton Lewis, Jr. will be heard tomorrow evening at this time. And that is all from here.
Due to technical difficulties in Baltimore, Maryland, the first 3-minute portion of the Senator Tidings talk was not available to us. We have brought you the program as it was received here in Los Angeles.